Coming up next on the Canadian Tech Podcast, we talk about the sale of Yahoo, Microsoft winning an important court case, Derek really loves a new email app, and Derek and I talk Pokemon Go in Canada. That's all this and more coming up next on the Canadian Tech Podcast. Welcome. Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 79 for Sunday, July 24th, 2016, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, we're back. We had a small technical issue last week.
Oh, just minor.
It's happened, but we decided I will take a break. Just minor. Minor. We're not going to point fingers.
No, I'll point the finger. I used Skype for something else, and so I changed the audio output to default so that I didn't have to use another program to listen to the audio coming out of Skype. And I forgot to change it back for the podcast. So this really fantastic discussion Jameson and I had about Pokemon Go and how unreasonable I thought he was being towards Niantic Niantic, who built the game, and how, well, quite frankly, how angry he seemed online about it. Over a game that's free to play, it was a good discussion. It was healthy. Nobody strangled each other virtually or otherwise. But it's all gone. You can hear my side of it if anybody really wants to. I'd be happy to send you the audio.
Just your side of it. Yeah. It sounded like he was talking to himself.
More so than normal.
I know. I started editing on Monday. Oh. I've done that before, so it happens to the best of us. So
yeah.
No worries. Please don't fall on your sword. And if you've already fallen on your sword, get up carefully.
No, I'm good.
Exactly. All righty. Okay, so we're going to cover a couple of stories we actually covered last week, but you never heard. But we also got a couple of new ones as well. So we're just going to get right into it. So the first one is Microsoft. This is really good. Microsoft won a landmark appeal over seizure of foreign emails. And technically what it is it's foreign emails. Basically, the U.S. government wanted some of Microsoft's customer emails, but they weren't stored on servers in the U.S. In this case, they were stored in Ireland. And Microsoft rightly said, no, these are in Ireland. These have nothing to do with the U.S. and stuff like that. So 3-0 decision by the panel of the Second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeal in New York. We haven't heard yet if they're going to be appealing or not. But it's a really good thing, and I'll let you, because you had some good comments on it as well. So go ahead.
Sure. So to your question, your statement about not sure if it's going to be appealed, I can almost guarantee you it will be appealed, because this court, this case has been going. The initial request for the emails happened when I was still at Infotech Research Group. That's a good 6 or 7 years ago now. This is a very old case. And you know, maybe some lawyers are like, oh, wow, I've got a doozy for you. That's fine. I get that. There are older cases. But this is still a very, very old case. I mean, it's been 6 or 7 years. What do you want these emails for now? But obviously, the feds are not going to give up. I would imagine they will try, both sides will try to take this to the U.S. Supreme Court at some point, if need be. Regardless, yes, Microsoft has won, as they should have, in my opinion. The emails are not stored in the U.S., therefore they should not be applicable to U.S. data privacy or data storage laws. And these American judges apparently agree, 3-0, so that's great. If I am storing data in, if I'm an American and I'm storing data in Canada, Ireland, Japan, Nigeria, what have you, my data should be subject to the local laws where the data is stored, and that's exactly what the judge is saying here. So that's extremely, extremely important, because U.S. cloud computing, cloud service companies have been absolutely battered the last 5 years over issues like this one. And they've actually lost a lot of business to local upstarts in the very countries that they're trying to compete in, or the countries that the companies they're trying to serve actually operate in, like France, Germany, the UK, of course, and places, or even Canada. data residency is a big deal. There are actually Canadian laws on the books about it. PIPEDA and PIPEDA for Canadian customer privacy, and then Canadian electronic health data storage laws do mandate that the data has to be stored, ta-da, here in Canada. So anything beyond, you know, your MailChimp or your Constant Contact, you know, for your email newsletters and stuff like that, the rest should be stored here as much as possible. You know, you get CRM systems and stuff like that you can't do that. But regardless, you should keep the data home whenever you can, or at least keep it out of bad places. I'll end on, I think, a note that I've stated before, where a senior research analyst at the time, a gentleman named James Quinn, and I, back at Infotech, worked on, John Sloan, who was the backup and the storage guy, he and I worked on a piece of research on data backup and where you should put your data. And the two countries that we recommended people, IT professionals, absolutely not put their data were China and the U.S.
Yeah, exactly.
For this very reason.
It's just ironic. Well, and the other thing is, we should also note, like, look at, you know, so much the growth of, you know, people want to store data in Canada is with both Amazon and Microsoft announcing, you know, data center presence for AWS and Azure, now in data centers in Montreal. And apparently they can't build servers quick enough, apparently, because there's a lot of companies that get back into Canada.
Yeah.
They don't want to, with draconian laws, they don't want them to do that.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
Sorry, I'll add one little thing here, in that it's actually an issue a lot of Canadian web hosting companies are going to have to deal with, because a lot of the smaller companies, they'll start out by putting their servers in the U.S. I did it before. I didn't like it, but I have done it. And then the first chance I got to get a reasonably priced dedicated server in Canada, ideally managed by a Canadian company, I did that. And and now with CleverHost, it's a French company that has a data center in Montreal. And I'm confident in that setup as well. So it works out well. And you'd be surprised how many quote-unquote Canadian web hosting companies, other than, you know, having a few people here, or, you know, their head offices in Canada, a lot of their servers are in the U.S., whether they're in Phoenix or New York or Chicago or what have you. And it's disappointing, but, you know, I'm not going to name names. I'm not going to dump on anybody, but you should absolutely watch out for that, because that does put your data.
It's a price thing.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it is, but things have really gotten a lot closer to parity over the last few years, so it's really not an excuse anymore.
Exactly. So, yeah, so definitely a perfect example when you say to buy Canadian. Yep. Okay, moving on. I found this one. It's kind of lame, but, you know, it's something that's important, because these days distracted driving is killing more and more people driving. You know, folks, put your phones down. You know, if you can't put them down and resist looking, put them in the trunk. Well, the government of Ontario came up with one. It's a little bit different. The ad's in the right place. What they want you to do is actually take your phone out of your case and flip it around so you don't see the screen. But, you know, just, you know, the actual message is worth reminding people about, like, you know, put your phones down, folks. It's not worth answering that text or that tweet. It's not worth your life, or it's not worth someone else's life. So that's just kind of the Canadian Tech Podcast public service announcement today.
Okay.
Anything you want to add to that?
I can't do this with my phone.
No, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. It's not perfect.
Like 40, exactly. At least 40, what is it, Canada, and what, 40% iPhones? 40% of the market in Canada can't do this. A lot of newer Android phones can't do this. So you're looking at least half of Canadian smartphone owners who this save a life hack hashtag, it doesn't work. Sorry. I did
say it was a bit lame, but the message was in the right place.
I saw a similar video, part of the same campaign, I think, that said London, Ontario in 11 seconds. And it was a sped up. It wasn't really London. It was a sped up drive of the 401 from Wellington Road, or maybe the 402 down there, over to the VMP. And at some point between Wellington and Highbury, I don't really know what happens, but the camera all of a sudden, you know, spins around, and it's evident that the person has been in an accident, allegedly because they picked up their phone or looked at their phone or were using their phone. So, you know, it wasn't really London. It was London's highway
on the
south end of London. But the effect, the point was the same. You know, you look at your phone, even like a split second, and all hell could break loose, and you could die.
Yep.
You Thanks, know, government, just like, for keeping you know, us
and
scared.
I see it all the time when I'm waiting for the bus. Sometimes I see people, and I've seen a couple of you know, people having to light up the brakes, and they've come pretty close to either hitting something or rear-ending something because they're not paying attention. So there you go. All right, moving on. There once was this internet company. You may have heard of it, Derek. It was called Yahoo or something like that. Well, you know, they were a leader before, but now they're kind of, they've been falling on hard times. So, the board finally, convinced, strong-armed, whatever you want to call it, Marissa Meyer, to put the company up for sale. Mm-hmm. So apparently they did an auction, and apparently, Verizon's rumored to be the business who's going to try and buy them, and who knows what they're going to do with it. Sounds like it's not going to include the patents, but it could be the real estate. You know, they still have a few brands that aren't bad for, and a few other things like that. But, you know, $5 billion. Do you think it's worth it?
I do, because they're still going to get 200 and some million active monthly users for Yahoo email. Tons and tons of people who play Yahoo Fantasy Sports every year, or all the time, I guess, all year round. Yahoo Finance is still very well respected for a variety of reasons. Yahoo Sports in general, not just the fantasy sports. Yahoo still has some really popular properties. Flickr would be included. Tumblr would be included, which Yahoo bought Tumblr for $1 billion just a few years ago, but haven't really figured out how to monetize it, unfortunately. They did make some really cool changes with Flickr, giving people like a terabyte of storage for the same price they were paying for, I don't know, 10 gigs, 50 gigs, whatever it was before. So it's certainly not like they're not trying. Oh, and the Yahoo weather app is still the prettiest weather app, I think, on any platform. I don't have it anymore because I discovered that Google was doing really cute weather stuff in Google Now. And so I was like, wow, this is pretty good.
So that's got to be worth $5 billion right there, the weather app. So
$5 billion
for the weather app.
The weather app's at least $1 billion.
Okay. All right. Well, we should point out, Verizon, you know, they've been buying up a lot of internet and advertising tech companies.
They have. They own AOL.
The article mentions, you know, they're looking to take on Google and Facebook, because that seems to be where the money is
in the ad space.
And the future is mobile advertising.
Yes. In terms of ad dollars and ad space, yes, they absolutely almost certainly want to compete with Facebook and Google. And that's fine. You know, if we can get better ads or more targeted ads without completely creeping people out, that'd be great. Verizon bought AOL. AOL owns a ton of content properties. They own TechCrunch. Yeah. They own Engadget. They own, I think they own Jalopnik now, which I think was started by Gawker a while ago.
Yeah, it was. Yep, that's right.
So they own a ton of, you know, highly valued online properties that certainly get a ton of eyeballs across the board. And so they're pushing the ad tech part of this, pretty sure. Wouldn't hurt to have a pretty decent search engine, of course. Yahoo.com's homepage still has a ton of traffic. So, is $5 billion a lot of money for just the properties? Because you're right, it's not, by the sounds of it, it doesn't include the real estate or the patents. The real estate right. certainly would be worth quite a bit of money out in Sunnyvale, but if they're not going to buy that, then that's going to go somewhere else. And yep. The patents, I don't know why you wouldn't want the patents, but it sounds like there might be yeah. some other bidders for that. So I don't know. I can't really say goodbye, Yahoo, because they'll probably keep the brand around in some way, but certainly it's going to be drastically scaled yep. back. You're going to have to yep, merge. Definitely. Or not merge, but consolidate some of the properties that AOL competes with. I don't think that'll be too many. I think, if anything, you could see a few AOL properties get shut down in favor of the Yahoo variant.
Yeah, that might be more possible, I would think, definitely. Yeah. So, you
know. But yeah, I mean, man, I had Yahoo.com email address or Yahoo.ca. I used to use Yahoo Chat all the time when I was like 16 years old.
I still have a Yahoo address, and I only use it for Flickr.
I have a Rocketmail.com address, which they own. They bought Rocketmail a little while ago. Yeah. And I couldn't remember my Yahoo email address anymore. I have a Flickr account I can't get access to. I just can't. I can't get to it. So, and it's all really old photos anyway. It's not really a big deal. It's ex-girlfriends and stuff. But
so that's probably wise we keep that in accessible.
Yeah, well, no, I want to delete it. I mean, like, I don't want it. I don't need it around. I don't want it around. But I can't figure out how to get to it. So until Flickr dies a horrible, horrible death, which I'm sure will happen at some point, it'll just stick around. So, in the meantime, we will see. I don't imagine anybody's going to bid more than $5 billion for Yahoo's online properties and staff. Marissa Meyer will probably be congratulated in some circles for mm-hmm. doing her best, taking on a job very few people wanted to bother with. And eventually
said to be a difficult job to begin with.
Yeah, and eventually, you know, getting somebody to buy Yahoo for $5 billion when it's probably barely worth that, to be honest. Like market cap and revenue and stuff like that. It's, you know, obviously the brand's still there, but, you know, my kids don't know what Yahoo is. They know Google.
No.
They yep. know Google.
They don't know Yahoo. No
they know Twitter. They know Facebook.
Exactly.
They don't know Yahoo. So, you know, it's like 1997 all over again for me. It's like, oh, Yahoo. Yep. But anyway.
I remember all the ads. Yeah.
And the singing guy, I think
the singing guy, yeah.
I don't think they renewed the rights to that a little while ago. So they're like, we're done with that. That or they just bought him out because they didn't want to keep paying him royalties. Yeah. I can't remember. Two.
Who knows? Okay. Let's move on from a minor disaster to something we were both talking about. It's probably another minor disaster.
It's coming.
MasterCard wants to take on Apple. They want to come out with a new payment solution coming in Canada in 2017. We kind of all said the same thing. Why?
Yeah.
Right?
So late. I mean, it's not late in the sense that they can't get any traction or you know, potentially make a buck. But it's so late compared to Apple Pay and I think it's called Android Pay now, and even Loop Pay, which is now Samsung Pay, which will actually like duplicate or like radiate your actual magnetic credit card thing, like so that you can still use the old school swipe method with your credit card, but stored inside Samsung Pay. PayPal is getting in, is already in on this, and even like the Flip app, Flip with two P's, which is really, really popular amongst couponers.
I use it all the time. I save $30 a week.
Yeah, so I saved a bunch of money yesterday at Superstore. And then Yugo Wallet, which I mentioned, has been actually promoted in Loblaw stores, Real Canadian Superstore for sure. I remember seeing brochures there by the cashier about, you know, promoting the Yugo Wallet app. You can add your PC points card to this, and you can add your payment cards to this, and blah, blah, blah. And then every bank has their own, I think almost every bank has their own wallet app. RBC certainly does. Pretty sure Scotiabank does. TD, I'm quite certain, does. So, like, it's late because there are already so many existing solutions for this. It's not late because the penetration isn't quite there. But it's MasterCard. Not every Canadian has a MasterCard. Right. Most people who have MasterCards don't want to have a MasterCard. Like, or not most, but a lot of people don't even want to have a credit card. It's a hassle. It's it's an extra thing. It's, or, you know, you just, it just reminds me of that really bad decision you made that one time, and you're still paying for it, or what have you. So,
isn't that called a mortgage?
Yeah, been there, no, still doing
that. Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, I ahead. Just, I, so first of all, this is only, the rollout is only starting south of the border in the U.S. The only Canadian-ish bank I see here is BMO Harris Bank, which is BMO. They're really widespread throughout the U.S. Midwest. You actually, if you listen to Chicago Blackhawks hockey, like I do, you actually hear BMO Harris Bank ads all the time. There's a ton of branches in Chicago and down that way. But, so BMO might be first here, but then again, that's next year. You've already lost 6 months, another 6 months to competing solutions.
Again, like once All the banks pretty well, except, you know, grudgingly, because I'm grumbling here because I'm a customer, President's Choice has moved over to it. Like, even some of the other ones.
Like, to Apple Pay, you mean?
That, they're planning to move in late July.
To Apple Pay.
Who am I thinking of again? Yes, thank you.
PC Tangerine will be on the sale, on board soon. All the big five banks.
Tangerine,
Now, I guess I should back up and say,
why would you want another one?
Well, this could actually be potentially good for the credit unions. Because the credit unions, unless they want to pay to get into Interac and get on that network, they won't be able to use Apple Pay easily anytime soon. Doesn't mean they can't, but the investment might be just a little too hefty for all but the biggest ones, like here in Ontario, Libro. Would be the one, the main one that comes
but
to
again,
mind.
They
maybe
run the
Meridian.
Risk, I know, the credit unions with they run the credit unions run the risk of the younger people. You know, they want this feature.
Oh yeah,
and going to a credit union, where they're going to go, well, no, I want Apple Pay on bank account. So
yeah, I mean, ultimately, so, the,
you know,
the
they
other
may have
network
to get with the program.
Yeah, the other network that Plus Network Plus. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
They're going to have to get on board as well, and then the credit card or the credit unions are taken care of as well. So, which brings us back to why.
Exactly.
I don't understand why they're putting money into this. For a handful of regional U.S. banks so far, except for Bank of America, that's a big one. But all the other ones listed here, these are all really small banks in comparison. And then again, except for BMO Harris, it is pretty big. Capital One is a credit card company. Citi, Citi is big too. But I don't know. I don't see the point when so many other options are still available or already available.
Exactly. So, all right, we'll move on. This is a little bit of old news now, but Pokemon Go was finally released in Canada last week or 2 weeks ago now. So a lot of people are playing. You go to pretty well any public park, like Victoria Park here in London and other places, Springbank and stuff like that, and people are playing it everywhere.
It's crazy.
It is.
It's great, it is. Though.
But again, Derek, you know, we have to say you did call it. You did say this is going to be something like this because it's true. And, you know, the big thing now is the big challenge is, you know, people are saying, oh, it's going to be a flash in the pan. I don't think so. Now, we do have a Canadian winter coming up. So let's think about that for a second. Are people actually going to get out and walk 10 miles when the snow drifts are up, at least in Canada? The other thing is, of course, Nintendo, you know, they gotta find a way to monetize this, you know, while the iron's hot now.
Well, they already have.
It was released in Japan, and they've got McDonald's are all sponsored Pokestops now.
Yep.
Saw a screenshot of that the other day. So, you know, but yeah, you know what's popular when you've got some hacking groups trying to launch DDoS.
That's disappointing.
Trying to spoil everyone's fun.
That's really disappointing. I'm like, why? Like, can't you just let people play Pokemon for a little bit, Pokemon Go? Like, why do you have to go and attack the servers? It's rude. I mean, they were already having enough issues keeping the servers up and running. Like, you're just contributing to the problem. This is not Nintendo, as far as I know, is not under any sort of investigation related to human rights abuses or anything like that.
Exactly.
So you're not punishing a company, and it's not even Nintendo that runs it. They license it to the Pokemon company, which they helped fund, I think, and spun off, and Niantic, which was spun off from Google a while ago and is an independent company. Google and Nintendo both own part of Niantic. But I'm not aware of any
because human rights abuses. Unfortunately.
Yeah, it's just being stupid.
Exactly.
Now, in terms of monetization, it's already monetized. You can buy Pokecoins within the game. A Pokecoin is a penny. It's a penny. So you can buy 100 Pokecoins for $1, or is it $2?
I think I heard two, because I think I heard something about preliminary. They were saying it's 2 million a day. That was at the very beginning. Now that's expanded to so many more countries. You know, what is this? What is this going to do? But is there other ways they can monetize it? Like someone like me, I consider myself a casual player. I haven't spent any money on it yet.
Right. Yeah, and that
work. How is that going to? You know.
Well, yeah, and you know what? That's fine. I heard a report a little while ago that the estimate was that on average users are spending 25 cents per day each user, and that's actually double the industry average.
Interesting.
So even by that measure alone, you know, Pokemon Go customers are clearly engaged enough to be spending a ton of money. And I think it's paying off well. I think it was $1.5 million. It was estimated that they were making per day $1.5 million US.
Yeah, so something like that. I heard
about $2 million Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, yeah, it's certainly a phenomenon. Again, I was past the age. I was starting work when Pokemon came out, so I kind of missed the first wave of it. And like I said, I downloaded it as I joked with someone on Twitter for research purposes only. And I have to admit, I like the social. What kind of struck me when the first came out, I was sitting in my back deck, and I overlook a fairly, you know, park-like area in a townhouse, and there's two kids, you know, and our two 20-somethings I knew from the neighborhood, they came by and they were playing. And then, you know, I go to work, and, you know, at lunchtime, someone's throwing a lure in front of One London Place, a couple lures in Victoria Park, and you're getting a ton of people, all different ages and all that. So, you know, the social aspect's good. We always get the people complaining about, oh, everyone's on their screens, or it's different than before. Well, you know, I love this old meme I saw where people say, oh, everyone's in their phones on the bus or on the train. Well, people used to just have their face in the paper on the bus or the train. So it's, you know, it's really no different. But yeah, I like the idea. It gets people out. You know, and it's certainly, yes, I say it's certainly popular. But again, I'll be curious to see how it happens when the weather starts turning, at least up here in Canada.
That's a very valid point. And certainly countries here in the Northern Hemisphere will almost certainly experience a slowdown in egg hatching, because you actually have to walk for that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe like new Pokemon found, because you actually got to like explore different areas in order to find a lot of them. But that's okay. Japan gets pretty cold in the winter as well. I'm sure Nintendo's already considered that. And you know what? Even if it slows down to $250,000 a day or $500,000 a day, that's still over $1 million a week that a single game is making. That's worth
it. Exactly. And I tell you, if you're smart, if you're an owner of a store in a mall or something, that's when you start throwing those lures out in the winter. You know, people come inside, go through the mall. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting. Yep, exactly. It'll
yeah,
be interesting
absolutely.
To see. And it's worked well for business. You know, businesses are, you know, the smart businesses are taking advantage. They're offering a discount. Or they're saying, if you know, I know the local grilled cheese truck, Gouda. They were saying, if you were on a certain team, show us your phone and you get a buck off a sandwich. You know, stuff like
it better be like Team that. Mystic.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I don't think it was Mystic. I'm on Mystic.
Oh,
it wasn't, so I was very
you're
sad.
On Mystic?
I know.
Well, good man.
I'm on Mystic, dude. I just made level 5, so there you go.
I this weekend I've leveled up twice. I'm level 10 now. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at my Pokédex, and I have found I've caught 38 different Pokémon.
Oh, that's good. You're doing much better than me. Now, the problem is my phone, it already was doing weird things with the batteries. And when I play Pokemon, holy cow, it's like you can just see the thing go down. Yeah, I've got to take care of that soon anyway.
Okay.
Not just for Pokemon, but, you know, for the actual...
Sure. It's all about the Pokemon.
The actual other uses. No, I'm pleased to see... Exactly. Well, of course, you know what? But I'm pleased to see the closest gym to me actually just switched from red to blue sometime today.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's good. To see as well. That's so Mystic Holmes, both the gyms in the area that
okay.
I can see. So
before we lose everybody on here, I'm just going to ask you a couple of questions and we'll do some compare and contrast. Which Pokemon did you catch first?
Let me go back to my journal. Hang on a sec.
Oh, I don't know if it'll
I don't even know the names. Like I said, this is what I'm saying. I'm not a fanboy.
Okay.
If I go back,
what does it look like? Hey, I'm not a fanboy. I was just 13 when this was released, so
yeah.
I became a fanboy, and then I dropped out of it.
Let's see here. Well, okay, now that's interesting. I think I've been playing since. I don't know how far the journal go back. But
I think it only
goes
24 hours.
It shows a Metapod.
Metapod. Okay, so you got a Metapod. Yeah. That's cool. I had to evolve a Caterpie in order to get a Metapod. I caught a lot of Caterpie.
Yeah, we have a lot of those. We have a lot of the birds and a lot of the rats.
Yeah, so. We do. We really do. We have a lot of Pidgeys, a lot of Rattatas, a lot of Weedles, and a lot of Caterpies around here. So the first one I caught...
Actually, you know what? I think I actually caught a Drowsy.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of Drowsies around here, too.
Yeah, I think I actually caught that first.
Yeah. Okay. That would make sense. There are quite a few of them. So the very first one I caught was actually Pokemon number 1, Bulbasaur.
There you go.
But today I caught a Squirtle over by the Petro-Canada at Hyde Park and not Oxford, but just one. I don't remember the name. Anyway, over by the Superstore there. I hatched from eggs a Sandshrew, which is like an armadillo-looking thing, and a Mankey, which obviously looks like a monkey.
There you go. Well, the only thing I did catch in Victoria Park yesterday, on Friday, during my lunch hour, I caught a zoo bat. So that was kind of new.
Oh yeah, there are quite a few of them. Not as many zoo bats as all the other ones we just mentioned. Pidgeys and quite a few Spearows downtown lately. I've actually been able to evolve a couple. All the way to like the top of where you can. Spearow, I've evolved to a Fearow. Pidgey, I've got all the way up to Pidgeot.
Yet.
Sorry?
Yeah. So I haven't played with like the evolution stuff yet, but I will be doing that probably this week. So yeah, that's fine. No, it's been good. So okay, we should move on before we drive away the last dozen or so people.
All right, that's fine.
This story is yours next. Elon Musk unveils part 2 of his master plan. I didn't even know he had a part 1, so you better tell me about
he did have a part 1. So the part 1 was to bootstrap to the point we're at now. So I'm going to sell a really expensive roadster to help pay for the development of the Model S. And then the Model S is going to the sales of the Model S will help pay for the Model 3, and that's all working out pretty well so far, actually. And of course we have the Model X SUV in between there, but that was that was not part of the master plan. It was like I'm going to sell a really expensive car to pay for a less expensive car, and then I'm going to take that one to pay for an actual affordable car, $35,000 US. With great range and all that, I'd say is pretty close to affordable. Okay. Certainly, that's the next car my wife and I want to buy. So that's good. Mm-hmm. So part 2 plays off of his plan to purchase Solar City, which he also helped start. Does not own a majority stake in. He doesn't own a majority stake in Tesla either. But regardless, him and his cousins started Solar City. Tesla now wants to or Elon Musk wants Tesla to purchase SolarCity. And the whole idea is that Tesla then becomes a sustainable energy company altogether. You have electric cars, potentially self-driving at some point, most certainly self-driving at some point, autonomous cars powered by SolarCity. And SolarCity is one of those companies in the U.S. that will come and install solar panels on your roof and, you know, either cut you a deal in order to have them up there, but take most of the energy or what have you. And, and that's basically it is, and of course, because he can take Tesla vehicles and treat them like Ubers or like Turo. Do you remember Turo? It was,
yes.
A company a website where you can actually list your car, whatever car you have, for rent temporarily, like me. I park downtown, and then my car does nothing all day. Mm-hmm. So if I could make a little bit of money off it instead, why not? And my insurance company is actually part of the deal that gets Ubers and Turos on the road. Uber cars and Turo cars on the road. So, so take your Tesla, which is sitting in a parking lot somewhere, potentially charging, and let somebody rent it out for a little while, or, you know, they can automatically summon it because that feature is already in the works and works, you know, at your house already. So you just say,
right on, gentlemen. Thank you.
Model S, come to me, or whatever the command is.
Thank you very much.
And it will open up your garage door, exit the garage, and then wait for you outside. This sort of thing is really, really cool. So when it is eventually, it's a completely autonomous car that can be summoned. If he's envisioning a type of future where somebody can ask to rent your car. Maybe there's a background check or what have you on this person already, and you can say yes. And I bet they could then say, okay, you know, come to me. And my Model 3 or what have you would exit the Talbot Center parking lot, go to wherever this person is, and pick them up. And then they get to borrow it for a little while. There's also Tesla Semi. Musk said that Tesla is working on a completely redesigned city bus that's smaller, quote, has denser seating and takes passengers directly to their destination rather than the nearest bus stop, end quote. He's not getting into, they don't want to get into really, really low-cost vehicles for a bunch of reasons that Ars Technica goes through here. He's got plans, and quite frankly, I'm pretty excited over it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the bus ones and all the personal car ones are always interesting. I think, you know, planning aspect, like how do you make sure you have enough people to do that? Like, for example, where I'm working now, we have 3,000 employees. So how do we make sure we have the 3,000 of those, but then all, you know, like there's going to be peak times. It's going to be, it'll be an interesting problem to solve. Let me put it that way. I won't say it's impossible, but it's going to certainly be an interesting problem to solve. So we'll have to wait and see. As I said, I look forward to it.
I forgot to mention two things. So don't forget Tesla is actually just finishing up construction on the Gigafactory. Which is going to be producing electric vehicle batteries in Nevada. And it's apparently building that with Panasonic to help push down the cost of lithium-ion batteries. I was not aware Panasonic was part of it. Regardless, then there was the Powerwall unveiling last year. Remember that?
Yep.
Yeah, so, basically he wants all of this stuff to work together, and part of that means... needing SolarCity so that they can control the energy in to the energy out, right? In through the solar panels, out through the car as it's being used.
Right. So, like I say, it makes a lot of sense. And as I said, I actually, actually really noticed one for my first time. I know they've been around, but I noticed a very nice blue one. I like the color and, everything like that. So, yeah, good for them. I definitely would rather... have a compact SUV and they say they're working on that. It's in the planning. That'll be awesome as well. It'll be good to see that, you know, eventually we'll have more charging stations and that here and there. And yeah, it'll be good. I think, you know, I wish them all the best. Okay, what's our next story here? Our last story before our local story. Twitter, they finally opened up account verification to anyone.
Yes.
To you, Derek. To me. To anyone.
You get a blue check mark.
Caveats. So basically, they really kind of want, you know, people that are fairly, like, how do we put it? Say journalists, but in the public eye, stuff like that. They're not going to necessarily verify Joe Sixpack, who's used Twitter twice.
Right. And there are a few requirements, obviously. So, to quote User Services Vice President Tina Bhatnagar in the blog post, she wrote that we want to make it even easier for people to find creators and influencers on Twitter, so it makes sense for us to let people apply for verification. Our goal with this update is to help more people find great, high-quality accounts to follow and for creators and influencers, no matter where they are in the world, to easily connect with a broader audience. End quote. To that end, when you're filling out the form, you will need to provide a verified phone number. I imagine they'll call it and make you punch in a code of some kind, a verified email address, a website, and your birthday. And Twitter may also ask for a scan of government-issued ID, like a passport or your driver's license. And then they recommend that the profile and or header photo reflect the person, the corporation's branding, or the company's branding. So
right.
I hope I actually meet all these requirements. I'm not sure why, but I have over 1,600 followers now.
How much you been paying these people, man?
A lot. I'm broke. I've got over 1,600 followers now. I co-host the show. I have Clever Host. Yeah. I work at Olio.
Yeah.
You know, I ran for office a couple of years ago. I'm probably going to run for office in 2 years again. I think I qualify. I kind of hope I do, because I'd love to get the verified check mark. So what about you? Are you gonna try and get it?
I'm gonna try because I think I haven't looked the last time I looked. I think I had something like 2,000 followers or something. What? And again, it's just been slow organic growth.
How much are you paying?
Slow organic growth, and I piss off a lot of people. What can I say?
I thought you were Stu Clark, but you are not.
The number of people that block me. No, I'm Stuart Clark. 2,432 followers.
Currently.
Yeah, you know,
you're following a lot more people than I am, though.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I always say, you know, people say, "How do you keep up with the fire hose?" And you know what? Of those 2,000, it's not like there's maybe 100 or two that are regularly tweeting.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it is quite funny. What I tend to do is about once a month, I'll go into the actual Twitter website. I'll fire up the followers list and see who's following me. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, yeah, if it's a local business or something that, you know, I think I might like to check them back. But there is a lot that, there's a lot out there that are, you know, I'm not even talking about the spam ones, but just kind of like you wonder why the hell. You can tell they're using a bot or something.
You've got followers. Yeah. You've got some high quality followers here. That drunk girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and there's like, you know, there's obviously some business ones and stuff like that, but you wonder where the hell, you know, and that's what it is. I remember asking someone a few years ago, and that's what it is. These services that, you know, you pay and you can get 40,000 followers.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's happening here. So, yeah. So what I tend to do is, I don't tend to follow everything back, but I will, you know, if it's interesting enough, particularly if it's a local business and stuff like that. So yeah, like I say, you go through the list and yeah, there's some, you know, like obviously we're picking up some more tech ones. Asus Talk News now follows me. Yeah, there's a few here and there. I'm just looking down the list now. You know, and yeah, I don't block too many. But yeah, there's definitely a few. How about this one? Chocolate milk in hashtag London, Ontario. Chocolate milk one. News, facts, and the price alerts.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yeah, they're not following me. So, what the heck?
Chalk milk, LDNONT.
I found one that's
not
safe. I know,
it's obviously, they follow them followers, I know. There'll probably be a few like that.
I found one that's not safe for work or this podcast, so I'm not going to say that one. But, yeah, you've got some interesting ones here.
Yeah, the ones that are obviously like that, I'll tend to just block immediately. Sure. You know, if I see them, but you know, if I don't, it's not a big deal. Most people who know realize you can't control who follows you.
No, absolutely not.
I think I found the one you're talking about. It's in the same column as the chocolate milk one.
Same row, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Okay, so that one there. we do a walk or report. Yeah, exactly.
For the most part, you've got some good ones in here, but a lot of these are Box Art Gaming Doc. Yeah, I know those guys. So I've heard of those guys.
I tend to follow a lot of media people. You know, my mom, for some reason, I don't know, she seems to unfollow me and follow me.
Well, I guess constantly. That should tell you something.
I'm serious. About once every 3 weeks. I know. It's like I'm following you again. It's like I think she accidentally does it. I don't know. She's tried to use it.
I got to ask her next time I see her, though.
Who knows? But yeah, a lot of tech companies. Yeah, you'll have to ask her next time. She'll have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Why do you unfollow and then refollow your son? Yeah, that's exactly.
And then I follow, you know, some of those shady companies like, you know, Christian and Tectos and the Clever Host Guy.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that.
We're so shady.
You know? But yeah. How about best drones for sale?
Oh, that's perfect.
I should go through this more often.
That's a good one. Well, you know what? I don't think you should bother.
Sir.
Oh my gosh. Steve Dotto is still around?
Yeah, he is.
He follows you.
And he's actually... Right, the new social media stuff. He's doing courses and stuff like that.
And so, reading about Evernote around and all that. Prices.
Okay, we should probably get back to
the show.
We should
move on. Yes. Sorry.
That's
very
okay.
Sorry.
I know.
I'm just.
We can get caught up in our.
If anybody had CTV back in the day, you know who Steve Dotto is. And he's on Twitter.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And he's on social media. He's on Facebook. And he's doing a lot of stuff. You know, he's kind of doing the, you know, just like Leo Laporte's doing or, you know, selling some courses and stuff like that. So he's doing it right. You know, I'll say that. So no, he's worth a follow, definitely.
Cool.
And his pre-recording stuff's pretty good. He's selling a podcast and course as well. So yeah, very similar to the podcast answer man. Okay, let's move on. We're going to move on, actually, with a word from our sponsors, the good folks at Olio, the folks that even hired you. So, you know, they must know what they're doing. So exactly. So we actually had a highly paid, highly skilled spokesman from the company come into the studio earlier and do a pre-recorded ad. So we're going to listen to that right now.
Do you have an idea for a mobile app, a problem that can be solved with software, two or three pieces of software that need to be integrated in order to speed up your business, or maybe just a website that needs to be freshened up? If so, you can turn to Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and builders of custom web and mobile applications powering some of Canada's largest brands, from Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, The Home Depot, to College Pro, and Ellison Travel and Tours. Olio offers custom web and mobile applications, interface design, e-commerce development, a web platform, and Olio is also a Shopify partner, enabling your business to get the most out of Shopify. For a free consultation on how Olio can help you, call 226-785-0420, email derek@oliodigitallabs.com, or visit oliodigitallabs.com/contact.html and fill out the form to tell them about your project. That's oliodigitallabs.com.
And we're back. You see, I told you it was a highly skilled, highly trained professional spokesman. Exactly. Where do you find these people, Derek? I don't know. So,
don't ask.
I know. You know what? But I heard a rumor. Your wife knows the spokesman very well. Just saying.
I don't know about very well.
Yeah. Well, she tolerates him, I think, is more.
There
should be
you
the
go.
Correct
that,
word, right?
That's
yeah,
better.
That's probably more like it.
Yeah.
All right. So we have our local story. You know, again, we what we can here and there around London. And this is a local company, and I'm going to probably going to completely mash up this name, Derek. So I'm going to let you say it. So go ahead.
Tuku. I'm pretty sure it's Tuku.
Tuku?
So
is that
yeah,
who it is?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'm going to take the lead. Sorry.
Go
a
ahead.
A year ago, I remember Tuku launching, and I remember saying, this is a bad idea, and it's going to go nowhere. I'm not – I know it's a year later, and they're still around. They have some customers. That's fine. I'm still not convinced it's going to go anywhere. I'm not trying to wish them ill will. I just don't – I don't get it. So anyway, Tuku develops what they call mobile browser-based content. And basically, if you are – standing by a car or, well, so they've got some customers here. Scholar's Choice, Honda. Oh, where did that list go? Oh, there we go. Kelsey's, Samsung, Toyota, and apparently they've partnered with Jones Packaging to add chips to packages.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, if you're at Scholar's Choice, buying something for your class, if you're a teacher, or for your child, if you're a parent or grandparent, whatever, and you're looking at a product and you're like, I'm not sure this is quite enough information for me, I want a little bit more, well, you could do the old school thing and ask somebody for help, or you could try the newfangled thing that Tuku is pitching, and you wave your phone above it, apparently, and then mobile browser-based content loads up on your phone. And so you can get more information about it. So this Tuku provides, it programs a small chip with information about the product or the restaurant. It's embedded in a promotional card that can be scanned by you, the shopper, the consumer. And the businesses that participate, I should get their own content management system in order to manage manage the content and the delivery to the device, of course. And so it uses NFC, so that's good. It's not some sort of weird standard.
Okay.
Unfortunately, a lot of people don't have, I don't think they turn on their NFC chip all the time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Only iPhone 6 and 6S have them on that side of things. And I don't know. I know they have customers. They're still only at the three staff that they had a year ago. It's the founders. So, you know, despite the relatively still small success that they've had with, you know, picking up some customers and a partnership here with Jones Packaging.
It's just right there.
Sorry?
Right. No, I was just saying, you don't know if it's going to be able to scale.
Yeah, pretty much. So apparently they spent some time recently meeting with businesses in Denver and Dallas. Meeting more businesses this week in New York. Unfortunately, that means nothing.
Right.
I've been in lots of meetings. I've met high up executives at Microsoft Canada. I've met people from Juniper and Cisco and tons of big computer networking companies. Meetings mean nothing. You got to turn those meetings into actual sales. That's the hard part. A lot of people will entertain you and your idea, but how many actually end up moving forward? It's maybe 10% if you're lucky, especially for a brand new product, brand new company. You know, you're not established. There are big businesses that have policies in place preventing them from doing business with smaller, you know, upstart companies. So there's a whole lot of things working against Tuku, and I just don't see the need. Gosh, like if there isn't a car salesperson knowledgeable enough, you know, to actually answer the questions for me or find the answers for me in the dealership, I'm not sure I want to buy that car in the first place. You know, and same with packaging. Like, certainly there are chips come to mind, like any sort of snack. The packages are huge. They don't need to be huge. But a lot of it is ingredient lists, the nutritional labels, and then, you know, you fill in the rest of the space because those two things, which need to be there anyway, took up all the space that you would want to use for, you know, fun designs or what have you. I'm not sure I see the need. It's not, despite being a millennial and certainly being very, very comfortable with technology, the first thing that comes to mind is not, hey, I'm going to pull my phone out and I'm going to hope this has an NFC chip somewhere and I'm going to get some more information. I'm at the dealership. I'm at Scholar's Choice. I'm here. Talk to me. Tell me about this thing, because if it sounds bad, I'm not going to buy it anyway.
Yeah. And you know what? A lot of people, and again, I've completely forgot the name, but the little barcoding you can take a picture of, you know, QR code. QR code. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, those seem to work just as well. And that's, when I first read this story, I was thinking, is this like a QR code? And it's like, you know,
that's exactly what it's like.
QR code. Yeah, exactly.
Well, so you don't use a QR code because there's no native QR code scanner on iOS.
You can get an app pretty damn easy, and I have one, and it's free, and it works great.
Yes.
It works very well. So, yeah, that's what I kind of thought too. But again, it's a local story. So, you know, we wish them all the best. Maybe it's, you know, sometimes, of course, some of the great products weren't originally started in the way they intended. Things basically can morph in that. So, yeah, we wish them all the best though.
Yeah, no, I absolutely do. I hope it takes off, in their second year now, and that they do well. But I don't, like, personally, I don't see myself using it at all. If I'm at a restaurant and I'm looking at the menu, better tell me what's in the food or, you know, what I want to know. Like, I don't make me pull up my phone. I'll probably leave, quite frankly.
Yeah. Exactly. So, okay, let's move on to stuff we like. Comic-Con's on this week, Derek. So all
it is.
The trails, all the things. So just, you know, there's so many, but for example, the new Wonder Woman trailer came out. Justice League trailer's out. And for the TV watching geek, Sherlock season 4. Unfortunately, we have to wait until 2017 for Sherlock season 4. But it's got the trailer's already got some spoilers, potential spoilers, and some oh dears and whatnot. There's always awesome things there. And the other one that looked interesting, and this is actually being done from BBC America, and includes, you know, some people doing different things, but Dick Gentry, the Holographic Detective Agency. It was actually a Douglas Adams book made way before probably you were born. I remember a very good text game, Dick Gentry's Detective Agency. It was actually a really good series of books. And again, it was really good. So I'm really hoping it's BBC America. So hopefully they won't screw it up. That I'm looking forward to. And of course, there's a new Star Trek series coming out on CBS. CBS Direct?
CBS. All Access.
Yeah. All Access. So again, just a very brief trailer showing the new Enterprise, and already the engineering ship geeks are already comparing it to a design that was done for Star Trek Phase 2, which eventually became Star Trek the Motion Picture. So again, as I say every time stuff like this announced, I go, please don't suck, please don't suck, please don't suck. Lots of stuff coming out. So that's what I'm doing. I'm happily geeking out at all these trailers and that. And I should point out, I have to watch those in the basement because my wife refuses to watch trailers. She hates spoilers. She will not watch any trailers or stuff like that at all.
But then how do you know if something actually looks interesting before you go?
I guess you try and explain that logic, but, you know, there's certain movies she knows she'll like. Like, she likes a lot of the, you know, obviously Lord of the Rings and that. She's been really into the Marvel stuff, so she really likes that.
Fair enough.
I should also point Canadian Netflix owners. Star Trek The Force Awakens is now here. Americans can't get it. And a few other ones are released this week. What else was released this week?
All the Star Trek series. TNG is back. Voyager, DS9, Enterprise. I'm not sure about the movies, but all the TV series are all on Netflix now. Netflix Canada. Guardians of the Galaxy was released today. Star Wars The Force Awakens, so as you mentioned.
Everything. That's the other one I was thinking about as well. Exactly.
Archer Season 7.
Definitely some really cool stuff. Yep. So lots of good stuff coming out. So no excuse there. My wife and I, she hasn't seen Guardians of the Galaxy. I have. So I think she's going to enjoy that. I'll just briefly say there was a very nice documentary called The Irish Pub. And it's all about the uniqueness of the Irish pub. And the thing I laugh about it the most is, because I've got family from Ireland, they actually put subtitles in even though they're speaking English, but they're speaking with a very strong Irish accent. And, you know, I can close mine. I understand it perfectly. So
yeah,
that's kind of hilarious. But no, that's actually good. When I watch that, I watched that this afternoon. So that was a good watch as well. You know, you definitely need to be having a pint of Guinness while you're watching that though. So,
well, yeah.
So. Okay. What's your pick this week?
My pick this week is an email client called Cloud Magic. And the reason I'm looking for something as banal as an email client is because mobile email and calendars to me need to be perfect. We're on iOS 9, soon to be iOS 10. In terms of, you know, iterations on iOS, we are on Android 6.0, Marshmallow, soon to be Android 7.0 Nougat soon. Email should just work. It should be fast. It should have some gestures. I should be able to customize the heck out of it. I should be able to make it exactly the way I want. And because there's nothing preventing this, it should integrate with other complementary apps on my device. Trello, Evernote, Todoist, my phone, calendar, etc.
That sounds like a fairly simple requirement. Well, I guess that hasn't really been happening.
It certainly hasn't. So Microsoft, I didn't realize how much this was going to anger me at the time. Microsoft bought the Sunrise Calendar app team a year ago or so, last year. And about a month ago, a month and a half ago, they decided to sunset Sunrise effective about 4.5 weeks from now.
And so we're all very sad of that.
I was sad before. Now I'm angry because not only are they shutting it down, they're trying to move over some of the features to the mobile Outlook client. But I have determined after several months of use that that Outlook for mobile sucks. It is very, very buggy. I will get a notification on my phone. I'm like, okay, cool. I want to read that email right now. I tap the notification. It loads up the email client, and that email never shows up. Like, it doesn't show up in my list of emails. It doesn't load the email itself. It loads up the last list of emails that I saw an hour ago or what have you. Instead, I need to close the app, force quit it by loading up recent apps and sliding it off the screen, load it again 2 seconds later. Ta-da! There's the email I was just looking for. It is so incredibly annoying. And the whole, like, Outlook on desktop does calendar events or invitations really, really well. Right, you send out an invite. It shows up in the other person's inbox. Says yes, maybe no.
Nice and simple.
Location information is all there. There's a description that has like a link to GoToMeeting or whatever. It works. It works really, really well. On mobile, Outlook doesn't render the invite at all. It looks like you've received a blank email.
Which is ridiculous.
Like, how can you let that happen? What, 2 or 3 years after you bought Accompli? This needs to render Outlook invitations properly. And I know they're coming from Outlook, and they are coming to Outlook, desktop or mobile, doesn't matter. And it doesn't even render it. It's worse than Gmail.
Yeah, but as I've told you before, and I've said this before on the show here, you know, Outlook can be so frustrating. They have a good client, but it can be so frustrating because after 20 years, they still haven't got Unified Inbox, for example.
That's like, really annoying.
Exactly. It drives me nuts.
They have Unified Inbox on mobile, not on desktop. Yeah. And so
that's what I want. I want it on desktop.
A lot of people don't, and that's fine. And especially for business, you're right, you might really mess up. But at home, yeah, I could definitely see a case for it. So regardless, I'm like, okay, screw it. I actually wrote a blog entry for Olio's Medium account a little while ago saying, I am on the search for the perfect calendar app.
Yes.
I had to give up on that because all the other calendar apps suck. They're terrible. they don't come anywhere close to Sunrise, even a year after, you know, the announcement was announced and like a few weeks after Sunrise said we're sunsetting. Nothing. Right. They're for one reason or another, they're all deal breakers for me. I tried Cloud Magic email a year, maybe 2 years ago. It was pretty good. I wasn't sold, but it was pretty good. And so recently I'm like, you know what? I'm going to come back to it. They just announced calendar integration. So I'm like, okay, well, now I can actually have my email and my calendars in the same app. That could be cool. And so I installed Cloud Magic about a week and a half ago. And I'm pretty happy. One really nice thing is that all my calendars show up. I can choose which ones to hide or which ones to show, which is cool because right now I need the one for my son's soccer team because I'm the coach. And and so I need to know, obviously, I need the latest updates of whether something's been canceled or not and that sort of thing. And so I get that through Google, through my Google Apps calendar, but pulling from their iCal feed. Mm-hmm. And so calendars work. I've got my Gmail and my Exchange calendars in there, Office 365. It's really just Exchange. It has a unified inbox. You can do HTML signatures. You can put a... one thing that people might not like is that you can actually set up a Cloud Magic account. And so if you go sign into Cloud Magic on a separate device, you sign into your Cloud Magic account and it pulls in all your settings and like sets up all your accounts immediately. That's a huge time saver if you have an iPhone or an Android phone and a tablet and a desktop and like everything else. So that's actually a huge time saver. You may not like it. That's fine. And they do also have like a full contact type thing where if you hover over somebody's name on the desktop app, you can actually get some information about them. So obviously there's, you know, they're looking at things to help you get you those features. If you don't like that, that's fine. Don't use it. There are other apps out there that won't quote unquote interfere or look at your stuff in that way. But for the features, I quite like it. And my favorite thing right now is I can actually put a passcode on my email app. So not only does my phone have a passcode, my email app has a passcode. And of course, my text message app, I've got Signal for text messaging, has its own passcode as well. So all three have a different passcode. And so the police are not getting into my stuff anytime soon.
Exactly.
Because you can't force me to give up the passcode.
Perfect. Okay. We're going to wrap this up. We're really going here. We can tell you're excited about that app, I tell you.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So what have we been up to lately? Well, I started my first week at work at a new job downtown at London Life in the storage team. So that was good fun. It's nice to be back in the corporate world. I take the bus to work 15 minutes, you know, but I gotta tell you, there's two things I had to get used to again: getting up so early and my early afternoon nap. I really miss that. I gotta tell you. The other thing I'm doing is I'm moving the Model Club, IPMS London, their website and their show website. We're moving them off the frankly crappy hosting that these guys were on before. We're moving over to some company called CleverHost. I think you heard of them, Derek. They're apparently do a good job.
I hear them.
Moving over that. Yeah, I hear that. So yeah, trying to do that and doing a little bits and pieces here and there. So that's all I'm doing. And then I look at the list of what you're doing, and then I feel like I'm not doing enough, Derek.
Yeah, well, don't.
That's fine.
No, don't. I'm sometimes I feel like I'm too busy, but then I get something off the list and I'm like, now I'm bored. Okay, so I finished up that server migration I mentioned 2 weeks ago. That's all done. I've got my Raspberry Pi 3 hooked up, been toying around with that. I got my Bluetooth keyboard connected to it today, which is nice. So now I don't have to switch my USB keyboard back and forth.
I saw your tweet on that. You were very excited.
I was very excited. Well, like I couldn't use the GUI for my keyboard specifically. I had to use the command line instead. It was still pretty easy. And thankfully somebody else already had a similar issue, had like step-by-step, do this, find it, you know, connect. You'll have to connect directly to the MAC address. And then the pairing process happened in the command line, which is kind of cool. And it worked. So it's fine since then, which is nice. I'm going to be buying the official Raspberry Pi touchscreen for it. I think it's an 8-inch touchscreen. And we're going to use it for like a media center for a little while, or like a movie thing. And I will eventually turn it into a full multimedia center for my Toyota Yaris so that I can Pokemon Go on the go. No, I'm joking. Just so I can have a really nice, like I can play MP3s and stuff like that. I've got a 2007 Toyota Yaris. It does not have, an auxiliary jack or anything like that, unfortunately. Certainly no USB ports. So this will be my fix for that. So it's going to be cool. I've made a few decisions about where to take the IT department, my other, you know, side thing I'm trying to get off the ground. I feel like there should be a really strong educational component to that. So I'm looking to develop some courses, sell them for a very, very affordable rate. So I've been putting down ideas on what to do with that. And I also forgot to write down here. I also picked my help desk, solution for that. So,
What did you end up going with? What can you tell us?
Fresh desks, fresh service. So, okay. Fresh desk makes a free, free up to three people help desk software, and so service desk fresh desk or fresh service. Gosh, is specifically tailored to help desk. So I have tickets, problems, changes, releases, assets, contracts, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And I can build up a knowledge base over time and that sort of thing. So, awesome. So, yeah, things are moving forward.
Cool. Okay. So we're just about done. The other thing I add to the show notes is you did a YouTube video a couple weeks ago Twitter about Google phones. So I will add that to the show notes as well. We'd also like to remind you, don't forget, please review us, give us a like on iTunes, Google Play, wherever else you get your podcast. It does really help. It moves us up higher in the list so more people can see it. If you like things we tweet about, check or follow us on Twitter. I am still, that's the other thing I got to add to my list. I got to set up a Facebook group. Could hopefully do that this week. Spread the word. We love doing what we're doing and we love hearing from people. So for the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 79 for Sunday, July 24th, 2016, my name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Thank you and be well.